informative research to adapt an evidence-based weight loss intervention for low-income African-American women. The prevalence of obesity and overweight using formative research to adapt an evidence-based weight loss intervention for low-income African-American women. The prevalence of overweight and obesity in African-American women exceeds that of any other ethnic group, including black men, whites, Mexican American women, and whites and Mexican American women, with 82% of African American women being overweight and obese. 56% of African American women are obese, that's BMI over 30. And what's particularly concerning is the amount of African American women that are grade 3 obesity, which is a BMI over 40, and that's about 20%. So what? Who cares? There's a lot of big, beautiful African American women out there. Nothing wrong with that, right? BBW, I like it. I get it. The problem is, what's not to love about that? Really, I get it. But the problem is the association with obesity and chronic disease that disproportionately impacts the African American women, such as heart disease, stroke, diabetes, and certain cancers such as breast. Despite the high prevalence of obesity in African American women, we are underrepresented in behavioral weight loss studies. In a recent review of behavioral weight loss studies, it was revealed that more than 75% of studies either did not include an ethnic breakdown or did not include a substantial number of black participants. And even when studies had a substantial amount of African American participants, that black women do not lose as much weight as white women. Okay? For an example, I get the diabetes prevention program. There are many, but I think everything around me, greed is the money. Dollar, dollar, dollar. Hi, Jethro. Hi, Jethro. Hi, Jethro. Hi, Jethro. Yeah, I'm okay. I'm sorry
quite a few times before I found the room, but then I had some drama. I do feel more comfortable. The short answer is yes, I do. I do feel more comfortable. The good news is I got my presentation uploaded, which was like some drama, but I got it. And I was able to get a flash drive from one of the people who work here and get it uploaded.
I'm not till 3:30, so I'm the last person. Dr. Terry Mason and Rick Kittles were in my room just before me, so they just took a long time to clear out, so I've just got the room empty. Right, I never talk to him. It's like I hear about him all the time, but I've never talked to him.
I haven't talked to him. Yeah. No, I saw his because he was the last one. But Dr. Kittle's talk was at 10:30 and I didn't see it. I was looking for Summer's talk. I just gave up.
Yeah. Hopefully next time you go to a meeting with him. Okay. And a few. Okay. See you later. Okay, bye-bye. Using formative research to adapt an evidence-based weight loss intervention for low-income African-American women. So using formative research, to adapt an evidence-based weight loss intervention for low-income African-American women. The prevalence of overweight and obesity in African-American women exceeds all other ethnic groups, including black men, whites, and Mexican-American women, with 82% of African-American women being overweight and obese, and 56% of African-American women being obese. That's a BMI over 30. Particularly concerning is the amount of African-American women that are class 3, that are grade 3 obesity, way down there at the end, which is a BMI over 40, and there's nearly 20% of women who are in this category. So what? Why do we care? There's a lot of big, beautiful black women out there. And that's okay, right? Who doesn't like that? BBW. I get it. I understand. The reason why we are concerned, though, is because of the association of obesity with chronic disease. Many of these chronic diseases, which are disproportionately suffered by African American women, such as heart disease, diabetes, hypertension, and various cancers, such as breast cancer. Okay? So that makes it a major public health concern. Despite the high prevalence of obesity in African American women, a recent review of behavioral weight loss interventions revealed that over 75% of studies either did not report an ethnic background or did not include a substantial number of black participants. And even when studies had a substantial amount of African American participants, they were often less successful at losing weight than white women. So we're underrepresented in behavioral weight loss interventions. And then when we are in the studies, we're not losing as much weight. Black women are not losing as much weight as their white counterparts, right? For example, I give the diabetes prevention program. There are many examples, but I picked this one because the absolute weight loss achieved in the diabetes prevention program in African American women is amongst the highest Because the absolute weight loss achieved in the diabetes prevention program is amongst the highest seen in Black women in the literature today, okay? So even in this behavioral lifestyle, even in this intensive behavioral lifestyle intervention with a weight loss goal of 7%, because that's what's clinically significant for reducing diabetes. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Out there?
No.
Okay. Reducing diabetes. African American women had the lowest level of weight loss success, with an average weight loss of only 63% of that observed by white women, of that observed in white women. So, culturally adapted weight loss interventions may potentially lead to successful weight loss in African American women. But understanding how to best tailor these interventions is a challenge, right? Most interventions now deal with the surface structure dimension of cultural adaptation, right? So these are things that are indicated by auditory and visual cues, such as language, music, food, pictures, okay? Fewer studies incorporate the deep structure cultural adaptive strategy, which is more complex and abstract, and it involves culture and belief and social norms and historical forces such as segregation and racism. And you can imagine these things are a little bit harder to get at. They may take a little more time to get at. They take a little more time to get at and more complex to get at. However, there is evidence to suggest that these deep structure factors play a role, may impact weight management and obesity. So the purpose of this work is to use formative data, the data that has already been collected on some of these deep structure factors, the data that have already been collected, to adapt an evidence-based intervention, such as ORBIT, for the implementation in a low-income African-American community. So furthermore, we want to identify the deep structure factors to weight loss, like I mentioned before, in low-income African-American women. And finally, we want to improve the design of evidence-based weight loss programs to better meet the specific needs of low-income African-American women. So this project is not about reinventing the wheel. We're not saying the behavioral weight loss programs we have don't work, we're going to throw them out. So this work is not about starting over. It's about taking what we have and making it better, right? Increasing cultural relevancy with the hopes. Increasing cultural relevancy using some of these deep structure factors that are less likely taken into account in the development of interventions to improve them, okay? So essentially this is not about reinventing the wheel. It's not about reinventing the wheel, but maybe putting oil on a squeaky wheel, right? To create a wheel that functions better. So our squeaky wheel is ORBIT. ORBIT is the Obesity Reduction Black Intervention Trial. ORBIT was evidence-based weight loss and weight maintenance program for African American women that was funded by the NCI. Evidence-based, which means the women lost weight, okay? The program works. It's evidence-based, so the women lost weight. And weight maintenance program for African-American women, which was funded by National Cancer Institute. Orbit was a randomized control trial, which is the gold standard for behavioral weight loss, and which is the gold standard for behavioral weight loss interventions. Women were randomized to the intervention or the control. And then, women were randomized to the intervention or control. Hi. Are you Marlene?
I'm sorry.
Are you Marlene?
No.
Okay. Okay, not the 2:30, right?
2:30? Okay, it's all right.
I mean, feel free. I'm practicing, so.
Okay, go ahead.
Thanks. Mm-hmm, no problem.
Intervention for low-income African-American women. The prevalence of overweight and obesity in African-American women exceeds that of any other ethnic group, including black men, whites, and Mexican-American women, with 82% of African-American women being overweight or obese, being overweight and obese, and 56% of African-American women being obese. Particularly interesting, of particular concern is that a nearly 20% of African-American women are grade 3 obese, which means they have a BMI over 40, okay? So what? Why do we care? There's a lot of big, beautiful African-American women out there. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? BBW, I get it. I get it. I understand. The problem is that obesity is associated with some of the chronic diseases that disproportionately impact African American women. So heart disease, diabetes, stroke, certain cancers, such as breast cancer. And that is why it is a public health concern. So reducing the prevalence of obesity may promote health amongst this group, and potentially improve quality of life. And that's why we're here, right? And that's why we care. So, despite the high prevalence of obesity, despite the high prevalence of obesity in African American women, a recent review on behavioral weight loss interventions revealed more than 75% of studies either did not report an ethnic breakdown or did not include a substantial number of black participants. Even when studies had a substantial amount of African American participants, they were often less successful at losing weight than white women. I use the example of the diabetes prevention program. There are many, but I use this example because the absolute weight loss achieved in the diabetes prevention program is amongst the highest weight losses achieved by African American women in the literature to date. So even in this successful intensive behavioral lifestyle intervention with a weight loss goal of 7%, which is clinically significant for reducing diabetes, African American women had the lowest level of weight loss success, with an average weight loss of almost 63% of that observed by non-white women. Culturally adapted weight loss interventions may potentially lead to successful weight loss in African American women. But the problem is, understanding how to best tailor these interventions is a challenge, right? To date, most interventions include surface structure adaptive strategies, which are usually auditory and visual cues, right? Like language, music, pictures, food. Right? Food and pictures. Fewer studies incorporate deeper structure, culturally adaptive strategies, such as beliefs, social norms, historical factors, environment, economics, historical forces, these type of deeper things that are more complex. Right? And you can imagine why, why most interventions don't incorporate this, because these things are complex and they're harder to get at, right? However, there is information on these, on deep structure factors. There is evidence to suggest these deep structure factors influence weight management and obesity, for example, there's studies now on obesity and racism, right? Or obesity and segregation. So the purpose of this work is to use formative data, things we already know, is to use formative data, things we already know, especially relating to these deep structure factors, to adapt. So the point of this work is to use formative data things we already know to adapt an evidence-based intervention such as Orbit for implementation in a low-income African American community. We want to identify deep structure factors to weight loss in low-income African-American women. And furthermore, improve the design of evidence-based weight loss programs to better meet the specific needs of low-income African-American women. So the point of this work is not to start over, but is to improve upon what we already have by increasing cultural relevance. By increasing cultural relevance. With the intention of better outcomes for African American women. So we don't want to reinvent the wheel. By increasing cultural relevance. So we took an evidence-based program, ORBIT. Formative research to adapt an evidence-based weight loss intervention for low-income. The prevalence of overweight and obesity is exceedingly high in African-American women. Exceeds that of all other ethnic groups, including black men, whites, and Mexican American women, with 82% of African American women being overweight or obese, and 56% being obese, that's in BMI over 30. Of particular concern is the amount of African American women that are grade 3 obese, which means BMI over 40. So what? Why do we care? There's a lot of big, beautiful black women out there. BBW, what's wrong with that? I get it. This is not a shaming kind of BBW. I get it. I like it. What's not to like about it? There's a lot of big, beautiful black women out there. BBW. I get it. The concern lies within the association of obesity and chronic disease, which many of these chronic diseases are already disproportionately suffered by African American women. Heart disease, diabetes, hypertension, certain cancers. A recent review, despite the high prevalence of obesity in African American women, a recent review conducted on behavioral weight loss interventions revealed more than 75% of studies even do not report an ethnic breakdown or do not include a substantial number of black participants. Even when studies had a substantial amount of African American participants, they were often less successful at losing weight than white women. I'll give the example of the diabetes prevention program. There are many examples, but I give the diabetes prevention program because the absolute amount of weight, because the absolute weight loss achieved by African American women in this study is amongst the highest weight loss in the literature to date. Okay, so even in this very successful intensive behavioral lifestyle intervention with a weight loss goal of 7%. Because the 7% is clinically significant for reducing diabetes, African American women had had the lowest levels of weight loss success, with an average weight loss of only 63% of that observed in white women. Culturally adapted weight loss interventions may potentially lead. to successful weight loss in African American women, But understanding how to best tailor these interventions is a challenge. Today, most interventions use surface structure, culturally adapted strategies, and these are usually auditory and visual cues, right? Like language, music, food, pictures, maybe flags, Fewer interventions incorporate deep structure, culturally adapted strategies, dealing with cultural, social norms, historical forces, segregation, environment, these type of things that are more complex and takes more understanding of that specific ethnic group, right? These things are harder to get at. It takes a deeper understanding of these specific ethnic groups. Thus, they are harder to get at. However, there is evidence on deep structure factors that suggests it influences weight management and it influences obesity. Like you may have heard of this, studies on obesity and racism. Such as, for example, the emerging literature on obesity and racism. Cultural norms, historical forces, stressors. So the purpose of this study is to use formative data. Is to use that formative data, things we may know already, to adapt an evidence-based intervention, such as ORBIT, for implementation in a low-income African-American community. We want to identify deep structure factors to weight loss in low-income African-American women, and eventually improve the design of evidence-based weight loss programs to better meet the specific needs of low-income African-American women. So this work is not about starting over, right? It's about improving and building upon what we already have to reach African American women. So essentially, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel here. We're taking an evidence-based program we know works, that might be a squeaky wheel, and we're adding oil to it so that it functions better, if that makes sense. So in this project, our evidence program, our squeaky wheel is ORBIT, the Obesity Reduction Black Intervention Trial. ORBIT was a weight loss and weight maintenance program for African American women, which was funded by National Cancer Institute. Okay, with a randomized control trial, which is the gold standard, women were randomized to the intervention or to the control, and then there was maintenance intervention, so we left them for a whole year. They were randomized to the intervention or to the control for 6 months. And then you see the intervention people got a maintenance intervention in which we just saw they can keep the weight off for a whole year, and then we assess them at the end of the year. So like I said, this program was evidence-based. That means it works, right? The women lost weight. You see 26% of women lost at least 5% of their baseline body weight. And even more interesting, on the maintenance side, after a year, 24% of women were able to keep the weight off. What's the problem? So that's great. The problem with this is that women stop coming to the intervention classes. If you look in that first row, where you see 53% in between 1 and 6 months, this means half the women showed up to class during the intervention phase, okay? And then if you look at the breakdown, you can see a small percentage of women who attended no classes. And you start off with a high percentage, 74% of women attended more than 25 classes, but then it goes down, 58, 50, only 58% attended more than 50% of the classes. And then finally, only 32%, then I have highlighted here, only 32% of women attended more than 75% of the classes. That's a problem, because we know women lose more weight when they come to the intervention classes. Okay? So we took 30 women from the control group in Orbit study and conducted semi-structured interviews to find out what happened. You know? To find out what happened. The interview guide focused on understanding how African-American women conceptualize weight, barriers and facilitators to weight management, participation in physical activity, healthy eating, and factors that shape self and body image appearance. We use Atlas TI to code, which is a software analysis that you can use to code the data to find themes and patterns and try to figure out what were some of the things that were happening. Here are some of the demographic and health characteristics of the ladies we interviewed. They're about 50 years old. Most of them are college educated, 16 years of education. They had a pretty high median income of $60,000. Most were employed. Most were single. Most had a BMI. They had an average BMI of 38, which is really close to 40. Hi, Dr. David. I'm practicing. You see that? I need it. Oh, yeah? Are you coming to my job?
No.
Nope? Well, then you should hear it now.
You're welcome.
Are you busy?
Not particularly.
If you can't hear it, that's okay. But I really need to practice. I just finished my slides
before. Oh, really?
Yeah, and then I snuck in here and
I didn't
need it. I'll
close
the computer.
And I haven't got to go over it. So, what's up?
Well,
how about China?
We had this mass incarceration session at 4:30.
Okay.
And
Jay's in it, right? Jamel?
Yeah. And there's another young woman that I met in this We Charge Genocide group that I've been on some of the meetings. It's mm-hmm. like a coalition that mostly young people of color and some young people that are not of color, and then some old people of various shades.
Some old people.
Anyhow, I was struck that this young lady, Jasmine, is like really very sharp. But there's a lot of sharp people. The whole room is moving. So at one of their meetings, I said, "We have this session with the Public Health Association about police violence, mass incarceration, and it'd be great if somebody could come and present what version of science to."
Oh, nice.
So I was just walking down there to see if I get busted for not having a badge on.
Probably not.
Only mentioned there's that issue because she's not registered.
Oh boy.
And I mean, I could go over and register her, but she didn't want to walk all the way to the convention center.
That's funny. So I caught you right in the middle of something.
Yeah, sort of.
Okay.
But I can listen for a few minutes.
Could you?
Yeah. I'm supposed to be here. One of your mentors and guiders and all that kind of stuff.
I have not went through this whole presentation.
For you.
Oh, you do everything. That's why I talk to you. It helps. Would you like to hear the beginning or the second half? I went over the beginning a couple of times. I have not gone over the second half.
Just give me a small amount.
Okay.
Small dose.
I'll try it. I don't know where I am. If I can do it really quickly. Sure. Okay, using formative research to adapt an evidence-based weight loss intervention for low-income African-American women. African-American women are disproportionately affected by obesity. The problem is we are not representing behavioral weight loss interventions, okay? Review just said that over 75% of studies do not include African-American participants, okay? And even when there is a substantial amount of African-American women in weight loss studies, they don't lose as much weight as white women. Okay? maintain. I give an example of the diabetes prevention program. It's one of the most successful programs to date in terms of the amount of weight that black women lost, okay? They lost about the most to date in the literature. It was a modest weight loss goal, 70%, because that's clinically relevant for reducing diabetes, right? But I think the success that black women saw was only 60%, 3% of that observed in white women. So they think that culturally adapted weight loss interventions may potentially lead to successful weight loss in African-American women. The problem is nobody understands how to do that, right? How do you culturally tailor something?
Talk at the pace you're going to talk when you're actually presenting. Don't rush through it just because I act like I'm busy.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You're talking real fast.
I am, because I was trying to get through as much as possible.
I'm afraid I'm going to lose attention. Go ahead. You got 10 minutes with you. Get as much as you, you know, talk as much as you want.
Okay.
I don't have to hear him. You should be able to give you some feedback.
Okay. So understanding how to best tailor these interventions is a challenge. To date, most weight loss interventions incorporate a surface structure for cultural adaptation, and that's usually like auditory and visual cues, like language, music, pictures, food. Less studies incorporate deep structure culturally adaptive strategies, and that's dealing with like beliefs, cultural norms, maybe environment, historical forces, segregation, this type of thing. So there is evidence that these deep structure forces, even though they're more complicated, complex, and harder to get at, there's evidence that they do impact weight management and obesity. Like you may have heard of some of the recent studies on like obesity and racism. But we don't see them in behavioral weight loss studies. So the purpose of this study, or this work, is to use formative data, things we already know that relate to those deep structure things that I was mentioning before, to adapt an evidence-based intervention, such as Orbit, for implementation in low-income African-American communities. Furthermore, to identify deep structure factors to weight loss in low-income African-American women and eventually improve the design of evidence-based weight loss programs to better meet the specific needs of African-American women. Right? So this is not about reinventing the wheel or throwing out all the behavioral weight loss interventions that we have. It's about taking what we have and making it better. Essentially, putting oil on a squeaky wheel, right, to create new wheel with better function. Okay, so our squeaky wheel, or our evidence-based program that we're starting with, is Orbit. It's an obesity reduction black intervention trial. It's evidence-based. It means it works. The women lost weight, right? And then there's also some weight maintenance. It was funded by National Cancer Institute. It's a randomized controlled trial, which is the gold standard for behavioral interventions. They randomized people to an intervention, then they checked on them a year later to see if they were able to keep the weight off. So women lost 5%, after 6 months, lost 5% of their baseline weight. And even better, they were able to keep that off, majority of them, for about a year, okay? The problem is women stop coming to the intervention. So if you can see in that first row that says 1 to 6 months, it says 53%. Only about half the women showed up, to the class that's over 6 months. And then as you go down to the row I've highlighted, by the time you look at women that attended more than 75% of the intervention classes, you're only at 32%. So women just gradually stop coming. And what we know about weight loss interventions is they don't work if you don't come. The more you come, the more weight you lose, okay? So we interviewed 30 of the control women from this Orbit study to find out what happened, okay? What went wrong? The interviews focused on understanding how African-American women conceptualize weight, barriers and facilitators, participation in physical activity, healthy eating, factors about body shape and image appearance. Okay? Then we use Atlas, a software, to try to come up with code, themes, and patterns in interview transcripts. Here's the demographics, health characteristics of the women we interviewed. They're about 50 years old, mostly college educated, had income about $60,000, and mostly employed, mostly single. And I encourage you to look down at the bottom. They also have a lot of comorbidity. You can see almost 70% had high blood pressure and cholesterol, 40% diabetes. So here are the results from the interviews. And these are some, we have six major themes: body image, spiritual and religious beliefs, food preference, social cultural history, family context, cultural norms and values. And I'll go through each theme and kind of give a definition and also give an illustrated quote. So things that came out of body image was mostly about being comfortable, and women seem to value body shape over body weight. So not necessarily concerned about their BMI category, but more concerned about their body proportion, right? They were also having perceived pressures from men to look a certain way, perceived pressures from the community, and they're concerned about weight. Like I said, it wasn't necessarily the BMI, but it's when it influenced functionality. It's called when weight becomes a problem. They couldn't do maybe physical things that they wanted to do then, and they felt concerned or wanted to lose weight. And then also self-esteem. So a lot of motivation or self-esteem was heavily impacted by comparing yourself to others. Okay? Other women, other people's body shape, how people looked in clothes, that type of thing heavily impacted self-esteem. Here's an illustrative quote. I was my happiest when I was like 175 pounds. I mean, that was comfortable. And at that, and that's not necessarily skinny for my body type. I was comfortable and I didn't really think of it, even though my ideal body weight for my height probably says I should be like 140. It's food preference. There's a lot of talk about time barriers, right? People's schedules and not being able to prepare meals, which led them to buy more fast food. Also cultural barriers, the foods that are like cultural preference for certain foods, and maybe a cultural preference for certain preparation of foods. Like if you're going to have pork chops, they have to be fried because pork chops, maybe certain cuts of meat or things. And then the differences between generations, how they would cook something, maybe how their grandma cooked it. And they also felt a lot of influence from friends, co-workers, family. What they ate, mattered a lot. And then cost, of course. And here's an illustrated quote. Yes, the closest thing you will see won't be the healthiest thing that you can get your hands on. If I wanted to get yogurt or something that has yogurt and fruit in it and stuff like that, well, that's $4.99 and the cup is this big. But you can have something. You can have that Egg McMuffin or whatever it is and this and that, and it's only a buck. And you can have hash browns and this and that, and it's only a dollar. Seems like a lot, doesn't it? This is the last one. Okay, there were also some conflicts that came up between their roles and stress, right? Participants mentioned that many roles that African-American women have within society and their family, it leads to stress. Then family influence, like I said, the portions, family influence, the amount of food they ate, and also the amount of food that they served other people when making food. And then social and family support. Participants mentioned that the support they received from their husbands or boyfriend and how it influenced their weight. So here's an illustrative quote. We face a lot of stress, going out and working and being a caregiver. And a lot of black women, I see, we don't think about ourselves. We think about others. We help others. And there's self-realized differences in body images between cultures. Participants believe that white women place more importance on weight loss and weight maintenance than African-American women. And then barriers caused by physical or outward appearance. They mentioned the need to maintain an appearance as a barrier to being physically active. So if you have a job, you're supposed to look a certain way. Then I think this is referring to hair. If you want your hair straight, you work out. and becomes frizzy, and that's not appropriate for your job appearance. Okay? Lack of health education. Participants share that they were not told what is healthy or how healthy it is to maintain a healthy body weight. And that's interesting because most of the women were college educated, so the fact that they feel like they didn't understand, you know, why it was important to have a healthy body weight. And then comparing ideal size and shape to other priorities. So they talked about priorities and how that matches up to reaching that ideal shape or size. You know, is losing weight the most important thing that's going on in my life right now? So here's the illustrative quote. So I have to find a balance between my hair and exercise, and that's a big problem. It is a problem because it's like I want to exercise, and that's one thing, and that was one thing that I didn't want. I don't want to get my hair all sweated out and then have to go. You know, that's more maintenance and it's more expensive. So we took all that information and we created a new program that was, like I said, based on Orbit called Doing Me. And the ladies actually named that. It was originally going to be Orbit Community, but we had like a focus group and they decided they wanted to be called Doing Me, essentially looking out for me, taking care of me, sisters standing together for healthy mind and body. So this was a four-month program, and it was done in a low-income neighborhood in Chicago. Like I said, it was based on Orbit. It was done in the community, and it targeted women 30 to 65 years of age, and it was funded by ACS. So I just want to talk about some key differences. Besides it being in the community versus the university for Orbit, that was a setting for Orbit, it was culturally and community targeted, right? So we knew the community we're having in and all of the stakeholders and community members that we had that were implemented in the planning and the implementation of the intervention were from that community. They weren't coming in. And then we had African-American staff. We also had community staff. And then we targeted women, especially from Inglewood. We didn't have women coming from everywhere. It wasn't like an all-call. It was for people in that community. And the advisory board to develop the intervention, like I said, it had people from the university. It also had people from the community, a lot of community members. Okay, so these are the sessions from Orbit, and the ones I have highlighted are new sessions that we adapted from the information that we learned from the interviews, okay? So for the session setting priorities and readiness, we added sleep because it came out in the interviews. We talked about time management, stress, getting enough sleep. Also, mindful eating came out of the interviews, because we talked a lot about stress, and that led to overeating as a coping mechanism. And so we added the measure of mindful eating. And the point was to learn how to manage stress, learn how the amount of sleep you get can affect weight gain and loss, and learn how to be aware of what you're eating. And then for the session on physical activity, we talked about a lot of myths, and then we also talked about hair, because we saw that came up in the interviews, right? So we talked about the role of physical activity in weight loss, lifestyle activities versus exercise, so like leisure exercise, and guidelines, how much exercise are you supposed to have in a week? What does that look like? 150 minutes of moderate to vigorous exercise, what does that look like? Plus 2 hours of weight training, which, you know, what does that look like? What does that mean, right? And then we talked about hair maintenance in the session. We had a beautician come in and talk about everybody's hair and how they could manage it when they were working out. And then this was new that we added to from the Orbit curriculum, coping with adverse childhood trauma and coping with crisis, dealing with discrimination. So essentially we had to have a whole nother session about stress, because stress came up so much. Well, you know, so there was a stress management that led to the sleep. Then there's also this whole other stress coming from the childhood trauma, which came out a lot in the interviews. So we talked about that and talked about coping mechanisms and how you may use meditation or spirituality to kind of cope. And And then we did labs in the community. So we went to a Food for Less on the south side of Chicago
that a lot of women knew about, or their proximity where they live.
We kind of did a grocery store tour, talked about how you can implement some of these changes that you learned about in the intervention at your local grocery store, right? Not just sending them home to try to figure it out on their own. We had class in that grocery store. Okay, so the... go.
I think I do other things, but...
I only have 20 minutes.
Well, I didn't even shorter. That's what I was looking.
I think we have
20 minutes and 10 minutes for questions.
Yeah, but I mean, it should get cut to 25.
No, if it's, if you go to 25, I still have 5 minutes. But, I mean, there's nothing in your delivery that is not completely clear and engaging. It's like really good. I could sit here and listen to you the rest of the afternoon if I didn't.
Lots of stuff to do. That's the end. Look, this, and then I'll give some examples of measures, and that's it.
Okay, so from where you started to here is the entire talk.
Yeah.
Oh, you're good.
You think I'll be okay?
Yeah.
Because it's only 3 presenters.
Yeah.
And it's 30 minutes in between each of us.
Yeah.
So they're going to give a bio, which I hope doesn't take 5 minutes. Because there's only 70 words you could upload, so how much can you say? And then you're going to give your presentation. I hope it should work out. So that's it.
There's a lot of information on this slide. So
it is a lot.
You highlighted it, but still, just to try to read the highlighted part is
hard.
Especially if it's your slides, you might say something like, "You don't have to read this. The most important thing is."
Which one?
You presented all of your results and then an intervention report.
I presented the results from another study. So this is using formative data. So we took results from another study to inform a study. And that's what I'm trying to. That's the point. The whole point is just Black women aren't losing weight. We're not in weight loss interventions. Or the interventions we have for weight loss are not working for Black women. They don't work. So what should we do? We got to make them better. And we don't want to start over because we have all these weight loss interventions that are evidence-based.
And so I'm really convinced it's a thoughtful approach to